go. Hallelujah. Got him on yellow.
Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise tonight. Amen. Amen. The Lord's Prayer. Praise God. I tell you, the Lord is in Westmoreland. I know the last few weeks we have really been feeling a wave of glory. And that shouldn't surprise us because we had prayer and fasting in the month of January. And so I know the Lord is moving. And I also know the devil's attacking. Amen. So those that when the devil attacks, that's a sign that God's moving. Amen. You're either in collision with the devil or you in collusion with the devil. You're either meeting him head on or you're walking with him side by side. And so the minute you stake down and say, I'm going to walk the straight and narrow, and I've forsaken all following Jesus, watch out. The old devil's going to come. Amen. But we're not here to give him glory tonight. We're here to glorify the Lord. The Bible says your adversary is a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. And but the lion of the tribe of Judah, he has prevailed. So just hang on through the test and hang on through the trials and be patient, my brethren, to the coming of the Lord. You know, the scripture didn't say be weary in doing well. It says do not be weary in well-doing. You know, that's the difference. You know, some people, you know, it's easy to not be weary in doing well. That's when all the bills are paid and people are getting saved and the church is this and your wife is that and there's money in the bank. You know, you don't have to worry about getting weary and doing well. I mean, everybody can shout when we're doing well. But I tell you what, it's when we're well doing. It's when we come when we got some heart problems. It's when we're well doing when we preach and nobody gets saved or we apply for those jobs and they don't respond back. He said, don't be weary in well doing because what? The rest of it says, in due season, you will reap what if you faint not. Amen. And I'll tell you, Brother Mike Mills came here back last December, and often I think about that message. It's your due season. It is time for the Lord to work and move, and we're excited. We got Craig Stone coming here in a couple of weeks, and so excited about him coming, and he's written a book, and you know, I love books, and I can't wait to get that book and read it, and it's going to be a book on forgiveness, and then in a few weeks later, we have one of the great preachers and musicians that we could get. With a sweet and a humble spirit, a child that they gave up to die, but will be in this church preaching for a whole week right there before Easter. And, you know, the week before Easter is called Passion Week. And so every year at the churches I've pastored, we try to do something every night during Passion Week because we got to be passionate about God. Amen. And Easter talks about His passion, the book of Acts chapter 1. And so we just it's building up. Amen. We've got some new people coming. We had a connections lunch. We just are excited. We had over 40 in a youth meeting last Sunday night. And God is moving. Amen. The church is growing. And I know it's the springtime. And I know you've got vacation plans. But whatever you do, don't miss Easter Sunday. We're going to have a cantata. We're going to have our youth group to do a drama. And the pastor's going to preach. Because I always believe the pastor should preach on Easter. And he might not preach one of his longer sermons that Sunday, Pastor. Amen. But it'll be enough to get the message out. Amen. Amen. Praise God. But the Lord is good. I'm excited about Westmoreland. Are you excited about Westmoreland? Because it's obvious the Lord is in this place. Amen. So tonight we are in a dynamic series on the Lord's Prayer. I encourage you to get Mark Rutland's book. In fact, if you'll see me and tell me, I can get you that book for a lot cheaper than you can buy it at the bookstore. I'll have to order it through Christian Book Distributors if we order 10 or more, but I'm going to tell you, that's an awesome, awesome book. And we're talking about the Lord's Prayer. And, you know, really, this is not the correct title for the Lord's Prayer. You know, this prayer really should be called the Believer's Prayer. Because there's a part in that prayer that the Lord would never have to pray. He would never have to pray, forgive me my debts or forgive us our debts. Amen. The Lord would never pray that because he didn't ever have to be forgiven. Amen. God never has to look and say, well, pardon me. Are you with me here tonight? He doesn't apologize. He doesn't second guess, and he cannot be impeached, and he will not resign. Amen. Well, praise God. So this is really the believer's prayer, Or some have called it the model prayer, because you don't preach it, or you don't pray it. You can pray it word for word, but you also need to expand it and add these things that we're talking about in these series. Everything we need from God is found in these 65 words, 21 seconds. And we've already learned that He's my Father. Hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Tonight, as you stand with me, Matthew chapter 6, tonight, give us this day our daily bread. Oh, let's pray this prayer together, and everybody pray it. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Father, tonight, anoint Your servant as he preaches the word. May I decrease, may You increase. And Father, we'll praise You for what shall be accomplished. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Turn around and tell somebody you're looking pretty, and you may be seated tonight. Amen. Now, I want you to know that tonight we come into a shift in this prayer. Our focus is moving from Godward to usward. That is noticeable in so many things in the Word of God. The Ten Commandments, the first four are about God, but the last six are about your relationship with your fellow man. It is not only horizontal, but it is vertical. If you'll read the book of Ephesians and some of the other great books of the New Testament, the first three chapters talks about being in the heavenlies, talks about spiritual places, talks about God and upward. And then the last three chapters, or the last few chapters of Ephesians, it talks about the church, and it talks about putting on the whole armor of God. It talks about the here and the now. Amen. You know, the Bible has such a beautiful balance. Faith and works. Faith without works is dead. We got to believe God, but we also got to work and put our part into it, because God delights in showing His glory as we step out by faith. And so the first part is God focused. However, it's now us focused. The first part was about heaven. Now in the Lord's Prayer, we're back on earth. The first part was about God's needs, in a sense. And now we've come to our needs. The first part, we're at heaven's table. And now we're at your table. Amen. And the truth that's so amazing to think that God, the God of the universe, the God who flung the stars across the black velvet of the night. Somebody told me today I was a star, by the way, at Best Buy. And I said, honey, let me tell you something about a star. A star is a fading light and a has-been. Come on. So if somebody says you're a star, just don't think too much of yourself. Amen. And a fading light and a has-been that's not too bright. Come on. That's what a star was. She was calling me a star. But listen, God who flung the stars, God who created the world, God who traced the rivers with His fingers, scooped up the mountains and patted them down, that God would be concerned about little old me and what's on my table and the crumbs that are on my tables. Amen. That great big God, Jehovah Jireh, hallowed be Thy name, Your kingdom come. But now He's concerned about my table and what I have on a daily need. This is a shift from God to us. And that's the way it ought to be. When you put God right, you'll get yourself right. Amen. It's like a boy who had a two-sided puzzle. And the first, on the one side of the puzzle was a picture of a city landscape with all the skyscrapers and all of the things there. But on the other side was a portrait of a man. And so the mother gave the son the puzzle, and he put it together in record time. And she said, son, how did you put together that puzzle so fast? She said, it was easy, mama, because when I got the man right, I got the other side right. Amen. And when you get God right, praise God, He'll take care of you. Amen. You see, think about this. We really have to have both. We can't acknowledge his fatherhood. We can't adore his name. We can't advance his kingdom. We can't accept his will if we don't have our daily bread. If we don't have forgiveness or show forgiveness, which we're going to get to next week. If we don't know how to deal with Satan and temptation. Remember, the last part of the Lord's Prayer is about Satan, temptation, forgiveness. You see, the way that we can hallow his name, the way we can advance his kingdom, and the way that we can glorify him and move the kingdom of God forward is by praying in the latter part of the prayer. Lord, I need you in my struggle against Satan. I need you in my struggle on this job. I need you with that backache, that headache, that toothache, that heartbreak. Are y'all with me? Have I hit everybody here tonight? Our Father who art in heaven, but Lord, I got some needs in the, and not only in the sweet by and by, but in the nasty now and now. I need your touch. I need you to come through. I need a miracle again, Lord. Give this day the things that I need. I wish somebody would say amen. And by the way, don't you just love bread? Man, I want you to know I went to Cracker Barrel before church. We always go to Cracker Barrel on Wednesday night. Because Wednesday night, Brother Beeman, is chicken and broccoli and cheddar. Every Wednesday night. And my wife loves it. So they, sure enough, they laid that piece of bread in front of me. And first of all, it was a full moon, and then it was a half moon, and then it was a total eclipse. I love that daily bread. Amen, somebody. You see, in this world of iPads, cell phones, Wi-Fi, smart TVs, you know I was going to throw it in somewhere, in our land of abundance, just go to the grocery store and our shelves are full. I mean, the other night, Darnell Sweet talked me into walking around with her at Walmart. I rarely go into Walmart, but when I do, it's something else. I get amazed every time I go in there. I mean, those shelves were full. But listen, we think about this prayer, and if you miss this, you're going to miss the power of this prayer. We think of it, of daily bread, in the context of full grocery stores. I have not, maybe some of you have, but I have not ever, I was born in 1971, and I have never not known the grocery store to be empty unless a hurricane was coming. Or snow. You know what I'm talking about. But listen to this. You see, the Hebrews, bread was the principal food of life. It was and still is the staff of life. It was the symbol of that which sustained life. As a matter of fact, bread was considered so sacred to the Hebrews in the Middle East that it was not cut or was it broken. Are y'all with me? And maybe that's why when Jesus broke the bread, it shocked those Jews because they counted bread so sacred that they would never, we have what? Sliced bread. But they would have never, because they felt like if you cut the bread, you're cutting the very substance of life. It would be like cutting life itself. And in fact, that's where in the New Testament, you get the concept of breaking bread, because every time they broke bread, they were reminding themselves that Jesus is the bread and he broke his body for us. But that's another point I'm going to get to later. But just understand we're not in the Harris Teeter or Walmart or Food Lion. We're in the Middle East. And we're living day by day, and literally we must have that bread. And so Jesus, knowing our needs, who is a good father, as Chris Tomlin sings, I want you to understand he is a good father, and we have every right and we have the invitation to every day go before him and say, Lord, would you give me this day my daily bread and the needs that I have, and God, I'll praise you and bless you in advance. Give the Lord a hand of praise here tonight. I'm going to give you four things. Number one, our daily walk with God. Our daily, somebody say the word daily. Give us this day our, this implies that somewhere, sometime, someplace, somehow, we're to go to our Heavenly Father and talk to Him and walk with Him on a daily basis. You see, we can go 50 days without food before we're in trouble. Some of you are a little bit shorter than that. If you go 16 hours, I'm going to move on. Some people, or most people, can go without water for 2 days. But if we go 1 day without prayer, things begin to go awry. In fact, somebody said 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. Not W-E-E-K, but W-E-A-K. You see, Christianity is a daily walk with God. Not just Sunday morning, not just Sunday night, not just Wednesday night, not Easter only or Christmas or in a crisis. It is a daily walk with God. Did you know that I get paid every 2 weeks at Best Buy? And, of course, every Sunday this church blesses Darnell and I with an honorarium, and we thank you for that as serving on staff here. And, of course, the labor is worthy of the hire. Amen to that. And so I get paid once a week at Westmoreland and then every 2 weeks at Best Buy. And, by the way, my 2 weeks checks at Best Buy was less than my 1 week check at Smyrna. So don't think I'm rolling in the dough. I promise you I isn't. Amen. I work a lot of hours and get a little bit by the time the government gets and this one gets and that one gets. I'm about paying Best Buy for me to work there. Are y'all with me? Y'all know what that take-home pay is. Amen. You know, that gross is one thing. That take-home pay, it gets kind of shallow sometimes. And I get a witness out there. But, you know, we're used to getting paid by the month. My wife, being a teacher, she used to get paid every month. But did you know in the Hebrews, they got paid every... Did you realize that? When they worked that day, they got the wages for that day. That explains the parable of the 11th hour workers. They came in at the 11th hour and the man paid them the same as he paid those who paid the whole day. Therefore, every day, what they would do is they would take their pay and they'd go get the bread and they'd feed their family. So please understand that the daily bread concept meant a lot more, and it still should have some effect to us today. Amen? Because remember, when they were in the wilderness, there was the manna that came down from heaven. And I'm not going to read the passage. And you remember when God sent the manna down, I'm just going to reference it tonight. But God told them, you've got bread, but get as much as you want, but you got to get it the next day. Amen. And did you know that there were some church members who didn't follow the pastor? Brother Jerry, why does that happen? I don't care what church you're at or what city or what location. People is people, no matter who they be, no matter the last names. It's just human nature. And you had some of those people that said, well, I'm going to get enough bread for the next 3 days. And the Bible says that on the next day, that bread stank. S-T-A-N-K, King James. It stank and it bred worms. So it didn't get any. Listen, you got to have daily bread. Amen. You can't ride on last year's revival. You can't ride on last. We had great services Sunday. I got a blessing. I believe the Lord blessed. My mother came to the first time in my life. And I'm still thanking God for that. But after all these years, but I'm just telling you, thank God for last Sunday. But hey, I need something today. I need fresh manna. Give me this, my daily walk with the Lord. And He walks with me. And He talks with me. Look at Exodus chapter 16 and verse 20. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it till the morning. And it bred worms and stank. And Moses got a little upset with them. We can't go on yesterday's prayer meeting. Last year's revival. We need something fresh from God today. You know, you want to really get me upset, and that is for me to go to a restaurant, and I'll go to Cracker Barrel. I went the other night. That's hard to believe it. And I'm going to tell you, Brother Elam Johnson, it was after church, and they brought me the hardest, darkest leftover bread Now, the lady who was waiting on us had never waited on us before, but there's about five waitresses in there, and, buddy, they know us. They know us, and they love us because I love back on them. Amen. Because I know what it is. I want to reap when I get there, so I sow as well. Amen. Praise God. I take care of them. They take care of me. And one of the waitresses walked by my table. She said, I'm so sorry. They should have never done that. They didn't know it was y'all. Ooh, I know the district manager. I know the manager. Praise God. I know the assistant manager. And I'm going to tell you something, glory to God. About 5 minutes later, directly, they came in there with some hot, fresh bread. I don't like cold, stale, hard bread. If it's brittle and you could bang it on the table, I want something soft and fresh and hot. And brother and sister, that's what I want from the Lord. I want something hot and fresh. Give me this day my fresh daily bread. This is my air that I breathe. This is the walk that I walk. My daily bread. Give him a hand of praise here tonight. Somebody say amen. Number one, this tells us about our daily walk with God, our fresh daily walk with God. And I'm going to tell you something before I leave this point. You don't have to pray an hour every day to get daily bread. Amen. And just talk to God. Take about 15 minutes. And just say, Father, help me today. I give my mind to you. Read a psalm, read some of that the Bible passages. And God will do something in your life. Amen. Number two, not only our daily walk with God, but it talks about our daily trust of God. Because we do have needs, don't we? We have needs. Let's talk about the scope of those needs. It's not just bread and food. When we are praying that prayer, give us this day our daily bread, we're not talking about bread alone. Bread symbolizes all of our needs. Amen. Martin Luther, and Pastor, I was going to talk to you about this, but this is the year that we celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. It's October 31st, 1517. Brother Elam, were you alive back then? I was just wondering. Okay. Just checking. But in 1517, in 1517, Martin Luther was a Catholic monk, and he got a revelation from God that the just shall live by faith. Say that with me. The just shall live by faith. And so he nailed his what's called the 95 theses, or he came up with 95 reasons why the Catholic Church was wrong. And he was actually trying to bring reform to the Catholic Church. Of course, they rejected him. They were going to kill him. And Germany, thank God for the nation of Germany. One man turned the king's heart towards Martin Luther. If it wasn't for that, we would still be all Catholics here tonight. And so that was a major milestone, 500 years. And so I was going to talk to the pastor that somehow our people and our young people need to celebrate what God did in 1517. Amen. Because history is really this, his story. Amen. And guess what? What God did in 1517, he wants to do in 2017. Can I get a witness? I'm talking about fresh bread. Amen. But Martin Luther wrote these words many years later. He said, what does daily bread mean? Everything that nourishes our body and meets its needs, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, yard, fields, cattle, money, possessions, a devout spouse, devout children, devout employees, those of you that have employees, amen. You don't want an employee dipping in the teal. Devout and faithful government leaders, peace, health, discipline, honor, good friends, faithful neighbors. He said that is included when you pray, give us our daily bread. You see, it's our the scope of that covers your employment. It is vitally, vitally important where you work and who you work with. And I know I'm going through this with Darnell. We are praying for her to get the right position. And I will accept God shutting doors, because I know when he shuts doors, there is something greater down the road. Can I get an amen? And then sometimes we get jobs that we have to take in order to get us to the next job we're going to. And don't be upset about that, because let me tell you something. I had never planned to work at Best Buy. You got to think, I was a full-time pastor. I did not work any job outside the pastorate from 1996 to 2015. And when I was 30 years old, I did not dream of going back into the workforce. I felt like my calling would be full-time until I retired, should the Lord bless. And what I was hoping for, to build a life and a ministry. But so I found myself needing, a real job. Y'all with me tonight? You know how they talk about preachers? But I needed a job. I needed to clock in. I'm going to run the aisle. I needed to clock out. I needed to take my bag of chips to the break room and sit there and dress up in a uniform with a microphone on. And I did. God, I thank you for my daily bread. Best Buy ain't what? Listen, it ain't the job that's going to be my career. But right now, while I'm in the trenches, I'm just going to thank him that he has provided for my Satya. Oh, and while I'm at Best Buy, I think I'll just tell people about Westmoreland while I'm there. I just might invite people. I just might win some soul. And listen, if I can't preach at Falcon Camp Meeting, I'll preach at the Best Buy break room and tell them about Jesus. Can I get a witness here? We keep waiting for, and there's some people that, and I know Brother Kyle's been looking, but I've pastored some people over the years that, I said, Brother, you had three different jobs. Well, I'm too good for that. You ain't too good to sweep the floor until you get to where maybe God, amen. And I sold a TV to a couple, and they came back, and they said, and somehow or another, we got on church. Wonder why. And they said, you know what? We're looking to church. And the wife said, you know, I told my husband last night, you were so nice. I'm not nice. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I am nice. I promise you, I try to be. But listen, are you here? So I'm expecting them to come. And guess what? When I went to Cracker Barrel tonight, they were sitting at Cracker Barrel. Amen. That was an African-American lady that came today. And she was asking for a dryer. And I had to explain to her that we have to sell a new dryer cord because every house has a different prong. Some of them have three prongs, some of them have four prongs. I said, ma'am, I've had to move many times. I said, actually, I've been a pastor, and I had to explain to her why. Because when you say you've moved so many times, they might think you don't know how to pay your rent. Amen. So I kind of let her know that, look, it was a business. I had to move. And I said, one house would have three, one house had four. I said, ma'am, you really got to get that. She looked at me, she said, well, I'm a pastor too. I said, well, praise God. And next thing I know, she said, I got two teenagers, and we have a house church, and she's got my card. And I said, come on one Sunday. My wife and I will take you out for lunch. She's about 50 years old, African-American lady, and it just had the sweetest spirit, and we about to have church in there. Amen. So what are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to tell you that God meets our needs. It doesn't matter where we are or who we're with. When you ask God to give me this day, he said in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your employment, your relationships. Those of you that are single, I hope you can hear me on live stream. I think everybody in here is hitched. But those of you that are single, please understand, when you pray, give us this day our daily bread, you're praying for this future spouse. Are y'all with me? Your relationship. I'm going to tell you something else. If you are hitched and you're married and you pray, give us this day our daily bread, you know what you're praying? Lord, help me to be a godly husband to my wife. And help me be a godly wife to my husband. And you're praying, help me to raise my children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Can I get an amen? You're praying for financial help. Give us this day our daily bread. You're praying, God, I give the tithe and the offerings. And Lord, you have to do the blessings of daily bread. You have to provide the need. So you're talking about the scope of those needs. You're talking about the hope of those needs. Because this is where fear comes in. Sometimes when we look at our situation and our needs, sometimes our needs, we look out at our table and we don't see the bread like we had thought. And we begin to get fearful. But listen, the Bible says, do not be anxious about anything. but in everything by prayer and petition. Go to Philippians 4 and 6. Do not be anxious about anything or be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. That's daily bread. Don't worry about anything, but pray about. And don't we do the opposite? We worry about everything, and we don't pray about anything. Amen. Present your request to God. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind. You know, worry is senseless. Go to Matthew chapter 6, and then I'm going to try to bring this to a close before the bread gets stale tonight. You know, sometimes preachers have put out some hot bread and it gets cold, so we got to move on. Amen. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. I say unto you, worry is senseless. Take no thought for your life. For what shall you eat, or what shall you drink, or for your body, what shall you put on? Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in the barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Aren't you much better than a bird? Now this does not tell us not to plan. Amen. When you study other scriptures, God is a God of planning. Read Proverbs. We'll tell you that. Go to the ant who stores up for the days to come. But this does tell us that we can get word about the basic everyday needs of life. My light bill, my car insurance, my tire treads are going thin. My children are needing dental work. About 3 years ago, the gas was up to $4. How many of you remember when gas was up to $4 a gallon? And I'm telling you, every time I'd go to church, everybody was talking about how high gas was. And I'm like, people, would you please? Do you know God listens to this? Listen, I'm telling you, it's bad when gas is $4 a gallon. I'd much rather it be $2 a gallon. But if it's $4 a gallon, God will meet my need. I never sat at home unless I wanted to. People say, well, I can't make it to church, but I hadn't seen Walmart empty yet. I hadn't seen people miss that football game on Friday night. Absolutely. Listen, worry is senseless, and worry is needless. Look at verse 27, Matthew 6, 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to your stature? I saw this report on the news the other night about some kind of cancer or something, and all of a sudden I got so scared. I'm like, man, you know how the news is. They make you think you got it. I said, oh, my God, I better go to the doctor now. I was all worried. And I thought, Ricky, if you got it, the worrying ain't going to help it. And you probably 99% chance you don't have it. And so your work, it's needless. There is a truth to this, that a lot of the things we worry about do not happen. Amen. God is faithful. He's going to give you that daily bread. It ain't going to be a cold piece from the kitchen. He's going to meet that need. Worry is also faithless. Look at verse 28. And why take you thoughtful raiment? Consider the lilies, how they grow. By the way, we're growing, aren't we? Our church is growing. You are growing. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If God clothes the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is cast into heaven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Isn't that what we preached last year, O ye of little faith? Those times he said, O ye of little faith. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Do you know what one translation say? It says here, for after all these things the Gentiles seek. One translation said, these are the things that pagans worry about. Did you know that when you needlessly worry, you're really acting more like a pagan than a Christian? Because when you worry excessively, you're actually saying either God doesn't care or God can't. And how many of you know, according to this scripture, he absolutely cares and he will in his good time. Can you say amen? Somebody said that worry is a form of atheism. Somebody said, I would no more worry than I would curse his name. Listen, a little boy was carrying a loaf of bread, and a man said to him, son, where did you get that bread? Oh, he said, I got that bread from the baker. He said, but where did the baker get it? Oh, he baked it. Well, what did he bake it with? Well, with flour. Well, where did he get the flour? Well, he ground up some corn. And then the man said, well, son, where did he get the corn? He said, well, he got it from the merchant. Well, where did the merchant get it? Oh, he got it from the farmer. He got the corn from the farmer. Well, where did the farmer get it? Well, I guess he got it from God. The man said, son, where did you get that loaf of bread? He said, well, I guess I got it from God. Give him a hand of praise. That's good. That'll preach. Amen. Hallelujah. Our daily walk, say amen. Our daily trust. I trust you every single day. By the way, trust is a choice and not a feeling. That's another sermon. I have to tell myself to trust God. And number three, it speaks of our daily duty. Notice it says, give us. Somebody say the word us. This means that not only am I praying for my needs, but I'm also praying for the needs of others. Who was it? Pastor, was it you and I talking about somebody that they were all wrapped up in themselves and the doctor prescribed to them to go look up at the waterfall? Was that you? And you might have, it was a sermon you preached. Praise God, I listened to the pastor's sermon. Amen. Praise God. And he said, the doctor said, you need to look at something greater than you are. Amen. Amen, somebody. That's what we're doing. And one of the things that will help you is to look at others who have needs. There's nothing you're going through or have gone through that one day you can't turn around and put your arms around somebody and say, hey, I went through that and God brought me through. Now let me help you. Give us. There's people hungry in this world. It didn't say, give me my bread. It said, Lord, give us our bread. We can't be me. The church is all about me, me, me. What I like, what I think, where I sit, where my style, my this, my. I had a man sit in my office one time many years ago. He said, I have come here every time the doors were open, and I have put in so much tithes, and I have served here, and I have done that, and I have done that, and I just don't like what's going on. And I said, my brother, all I keep hearing is I. Have you considered that it's not about you, but it's about God. In fact, Satan said, I will build my throne. I will be like the Most High. I will. You got to be careful when you put a lot of eyes in there. Can I get a witness? And by the way, he and I are real good, still friends to this day. Amen. I'd have never told it to him if he was really mad at me. Amen. He was mad at that moment. But we all grow. Amen. There's others that are hungry. Others who are out of the fold. You know why I ask you not to miss Easter Sunday? And there's nothing wrong with taking a vacation on Easter Sunday in the sense of vacation. But I'm asking you, do not miss that Easter Sunday service. Why? Because there's others who need that bread. Easter is the one day of the year. I'm going to wait till everybody listens to me. All right, y'all ready for some more fresh bread? Say amen. You say, preacher, man, I've taken a vacation every year. I've been gone on Easter weekend. We go every year. And listen, if you have, fine. And if you still do, I'm going to love you. But think it. If we do the same things, we're going to get the same results. Easter is the one Sunday of the entire calendar that you can easily get people to church. How many of you know it's hard to get people to church? Leave right after church at 2:00, hit the beach, go to the mountains. We'll see your license plate, and we'll say, God bless you. But Easter Sunday, be in this house, not another church down the road, unless you got to. And I'm not saying if you have to, if you've already got plans. So I got to still love you after Easter. Amen. If at all possible. You know why? Because we got to get some bread out. Amen. We got to let people know that Jesus is out of that tomb. And it's not all about me. I got to share that bread. Listen, what would you think of me, Brother Lewis? We've eaten at Cracker Barrel many times, you and your wife. And if they brought that bread out there to Cracker Barrel, and I just scooped it all up, and you and Kathy looked at each other, and you didn't get a piece of that bread, you wouldn't think a lot of me, would you? And you sure wouldn't want to come back with me, would you? But brother, when they bring that Cracker Barrel barrel bread out. I'm going to throw it to you. I'm going to not throw it literally, but I'm going to say, here, let's enjoy the blessings of the Lord. Give us. We've got a world to reach. We've got lives to touch. You may be depressed. Go and help somebody else, and that'll help you. Amen. Everybody say, give us this day our daily bread. How much does it take to get a piece of bread on the table? It takes the tiller, the planter, the harvester, the miller, the grocer, the cooker, and the server. It takes a lot of people to get that daily bread. It took great-grandmother Jonah bringing me to church when my mom and dad didn't. It took a Steve Edmondson, who was an evangelist in his conference, and I rode in the back of his car the first time to Falcon. And he had an influence on my life. It took school teachers. It took conference superintendents. It took pastors, T.L. Byrd, who was my father in the Lord and for many years. And you see, when we say, give us this day our daily bread, please understand, we have a responsibility to others to serve them bread, and we also receive bread from others. I know we're against some of the philosophies of it takes a village or whatever, but in a sense, it takes a church. Amen. It takes the body of Christ to get our daily bread. Somebody say amen. Somebody prayed for you. They had you on their mind. Or had them on their mind. They sacrificed their time. And they fell down on their knees and prayed for you. That's an old song from the 80s, by the way, I'm quoting. You see, God has, listen, we don't need to hoard all the bread to ourselves. When we talk about daily bread, we're talking about our daily walk. Say amen. We're talking about our daily needs. Say amen. We're talking about our daily responsibilities to pass the bread. And finally, as I close, it speaks of our daily humility. Humility. Now, I have money in the bank. Do I still need to ask him to meet my needs? I've got a thriving business. Do I still need to pray today? Give me this daily bread? Listen, if you're the CEO of a corporation, I ask and I hope and I pray that as a CEO, you would find your on your knees every single day and say, Lord, give me this day my daily bread. And you say, Brother Ricky, I'm going to have plenty of bread. I got plenty of bread in the fridge. But there's something about honoring God. When you already have it and you ask him for it by letting him know, God, I recognize that you or the source, and at any moment, I may not have it. So therefore, God, thank you. It's humility. Somebody say humility. Listen, we think the bills, we get to a place sometimes when we get full. We feast on that bread that God gives us. Praise God, I'm full and running over. But sometimes, if you're not careful, you can get full and you can get satisfied and you can get lethargic. You can get like Esau. Look at Esau, Genesis chapter 33, and I'm coming to a close. Esau, and I would call somebody up to play the piano, so you better pray, because until the piano gets up here, I might preach all night long. Genesis 33:9, and Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Listen, I do, in a sense, have enough. But you know what I'm going to pray for tomorrow? I'm going to pray for some fresh daily bread. Because I have enough today, but I want God to know that I still need him. Thank God for him blessing. Thank God for him providing. But every day, humbly, I will say, Father, give me, say it with me, give me this day my daily bread. Now pray it right. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day, Lord, I recognize that my job is you, that my bread is you, my opportunities, my health, my heartbeat, everything. Give us this day our daily bread. I still need you, Lord. I don't have enough like Esau. I need more from you. I need more of your touch, more of your guidance, more of your presence. In fact, when I go to Cracker Barrel, I don't eat just one biscuit. I eat three or four, glory to God. And some of you, you come to church and you get one little half a biscuit And then you think you've got, no, sir, get all that you want. Fall in this altar. Don't worry about gaining weight in the spirit. Praise God. Just help yourself. Get all the bread you need. Get all the blessings you need. Get all the anointing you need. Don't leave like you came in Jesus' name. Bring it to the altar. Get full. Get free. Don't leave dragging with your burdens like you came in. But throw them all to Jesus. If you had a tough test, somebody's talking about a test they had today. One of these guys, you had a bad math test today. Praise God, you don't have it tomorrow. So thank God for it. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Give me this day my daily bread. Give him a hand of prayer. Thank God he meets my need. Well, glory. Now, I'm gonna tell you about this lady that it was the week before Christmas, and she came into the store and asked if she could have just enough food to make Christmas dinner for the children. Well, the grocer asked her, this is in the old days, the grocer said, well, how much money do you have? She said, well, my husband was killed in the war, and I have nothing to offer but a little prayer. And she had written down a prayer. He was not very religious, and he wasn't very sympathetic. So he half jokingly said, he said, I tell you what, I'll put this prayer on the scale, and I'll put food on the other side of the scale. And as soon as that scale tips down, that'll be the food that I'm going to give you. Now, he thought he was very clever because, you know, paper don't weigh anything. So he put the paper on that scale first, which had her prayer. And then he began to put a piece of bread. Nothing happened. He put another piece of bread. Actually, the paper was leaning over, so he was trying to bring it down. So let me describe this right. So when he put the paper, he had it leaned down. And so he's putting the bread on to try to bring it back to balance. All you math people say amen if you followed me. And he just kept putting stuff up there, stuff up there, stuff up there. And that thing did not move. And he got so frustrated, he just gave her a bunch of stuff. I said, get out of here. And when she left, he looked at that scale. And what had happened, he didn't know, it had broke. And he got to thinking about that. That thing broke. I didn't know it was broke. Just about the time she came in, he pulled out that paper and he read that prayer. And you know what that prayer said? Give us this day our daily bread. Aren't you glad God will meet all of our need? Would you stand with me tonight? Oh, let's not worry. Let's not fret. He is the God that meets every need. He is the Lord of glory. And I'm going to tell you tonight, Brother Pastor, if you'll come and I'll move to the piano. But let me tell you something. Jesus is the ultimate bread of life. Come and dine, the Master calleth. And there's some people, they're hungry. And they think they're hungry for a boyfriend or girlfriend or relationship or marriage or money. But really what they need is the daily bread, the bread of God. Jesus. Has anybody at Westmoreland sat down at the King's table and filled yourself up with some wonderful, hot, fresh bread? Have you? Would you lift your hand if you have? Praise God. Now let me ask you this. If I go to Cracker Barrel with you, are you going to keep all the bread to yourself? Are you going to share it with the pastor? Come on, Brother Ricky, pastor. Well, let me ask you something. If you know, how many of you know Jesus? Come on, let me see your hand. How many of you know Jesus? Will you share it with them? Amen. You're not going to hold it to yourself. You're going to invite people to church on Easter Sunday and every Sunday, but particularly Easter Sunday, we're going to have some hot bread. Amen, somebody. Give the Lord a hand of praise here tonight. Give us this day.
Hallelujah. Anderson, while he's going to the piano, come up here, son. This is, come here. Yeah, Anderson. Yeah. Sister Brenda's been teaching him. I've been teaching him. Mother and Dad have been teaching him. I want you to tell us Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13.
Matthew 6, 9 through 13. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us as we forget as you we forgive our debts. As you forgive our debts and we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thy is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Matthew 6, 9 through 13.
Hallelujah. I bribed him. I told him I'd give him $5 if he learned that. I've already given him 4 of them, and when he gets it perfect, I'm going to give him the other one. You did a great job. He's moving forward, and I just want you to see the type of ministry that's going on all over this church.
Yes.
That we've been talking about our daily bread, and just as important as it is for us to have that natural bread, it's important for us to have that spiritual bread. Who knows how the Holy Spirit will speak to him or speak through him to others as he shares that or as he hits a moment in time when he may have that tremendous need and he can look up and say, Father,
hallelujah,
thank you for supplying this need that I have. Do you have a special need tonight? And just wave your hand at the Father and say, Father, thank you for supplying this need. Thank you for my family. Thank you for the food I eat. Thank you for the job I have. Thank you for the resources you've given me. Thank you for the breath I breathe. Thank you for my body. This is my daily bread, Lord. You're my source, and I worship you. And I thank you, Lord. I could never praise you enough for what you've done for me. Thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. I know you're my source, and I praise you. Hallelujah.
My daily bread. This is my daily bread.
Say that again.
This is my daily bread.
Your very word.
Your very word. Spoken to me.
My daily bread.
This is my daily bread.
Oh, yes, hallelujah. It is.
This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. I'm desperate for you. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence with me.
This is my daily bread.
This is my daily. Is my daily bread. Oh, your very word, your very word spoken to me. Oh, and I'm desperate for you.
Are you desperate for him tonight? Sing it. Oh, we pass the bread, Lord.
I'm lost without you.